Meeting of July 10th, and then we're going to begin with a report from our city attorney as we just returned from a closed session.
Yeah, there's no reportable action coming out of the closed session.
No reportable action. Thank you. We'll go ahead with our roll call for city council.
Councilmember Burba?
Here.
Councilmember Moreno?
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. We'll have a Pledge of Allegiance led by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi. Thank you. First item is approval of the agenda.
I'll move approval of the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Burba, seconded by Councilwoman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Burba?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We have no presentations this evening. We do have our consent calendar, which is made up of items considered to be routine in nature, and we can just vote on them together. And if there is only one item, which is our city council draft action minutes, is any member of the council wishing to pull for a discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I did want to pull that item.
Well, of course. This would be a good night to do it because we have plenty of time.
So there's just the one. Actually, the reason I wanted to pull it, I considered not voting because I was absent, but I did watch the proceedings, so I feel qualified to vote for it. But I was concerned regarding the minutes regarding the resolution placing a measure on the ballot for the four-year, to change the mayor's office to a four-year term. In particular, the part that says Mayor O'Malley and Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi will be responsible to write an argument in favor of the ballot measure, and if needed, which means if somebody submits a con argument, authorizing Councilmember Sturdivant and Burba to write any rebuttal. I think as we've discussed, we have a very harmonious council that gets along and respects each other, but I think it might have been a bit presumptuous there as I was not absent, and I'm marginally in favor of the measure, and I don't feel strongly enough about it that I would feel comfortable writing a rebuttal to any no argument. And I realize it just authorizes Councilmember Sturdivant and myself to do so, but I wanted to, you know, be on the record that I'm not interested in writing a rebuttal to a no argument.
Very good. So we don't have to change our minutes, but
correct.
You have the right to
correct.
Not do something.
Understand. But since I didn't have an opportunity to discuss it, I thought
yes.
This was the best place and opportunity to do so.
Yep. If you're not here, you can't discuss it.
There you go. True. So, all right. With that, I'll make a motion for approval of.
Well, let me check with the members of the public. Would you like further discussion on this? Since it has been opened up, if you have a comment on that item, this would be the time to speak. Seeing none approach, we'll close the public comment portion. We have a motion by Councilmember Burba.
Second.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi. Roll call for the consent calendar with the one item of the minutes.
Councilmember Burba?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next, we have updates from the city manager. And if you could include on that where the status is on that item that's basically going to be a ballot measure, because I don't think there will be a need for a rebuttal, but maybe that is premature yet. You could maybe our city clerk could fill in a little bit on where we are on that process.
Okay. Why don't I go ahead and I'll give my report, and then we'll turn it over to Laura Christensen, and she'll be able to tell us whether anybody has submitted an argument against in a timely fashion.
So, thank you.
Thank you. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight is our downtown sizzle. So tomorrow's farmers market is a downtown sizzle. It's a supersized farmers market and will be held tomorrow, July 11th, from 3 to 7 p.m. All of the vendors from Farmers Market will be spread throughout the downtown area, and all of the downtown merchants will be open till 7 p.m. I know a lot of the merchants have things going on to coordinate with that downtown sizzle. We'll be closing off some different streets and enjoying a different spread out farmers market. There'll be lots of live music, food, and entertainment to enjoy throughout the downtown from City Hall up to Traffic Way. In addition, there will be a green egg barbecue raffle to enter provided by our sponsor, Daylight Home and Gardens, Home Lighting and Patio, I guess. So it's going to be exciting. We are raffling off that green egg barbecue. excuse me. And it will be spread out. So it's an exciting night, lots of live music. Another exciting thing going on is Ice Cream Zoofari at the Charles Paddock Zoo, which will be held this coming Saturday, July 14th, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Zoofari will include selections from Doc Bernstein's Ice Cream Lab, Yogurt Creations, and A&W Root Beer. Your entry ticket includes admission and all-you-can-eat ice cream and sundaes. And there is a lot of ice cream and sundaes. We usually have about 10 or so different stations, all with at least two different types of ice creams. So you can have all the ice cream you've ever wanted and then a lot more. So come cool down from this hot weather on Saturday evening, enjoy the zoo, and try out some of the cool and tasty treats. It's a fun event, and we'll go from there. While we're talking about the zoo, I want to thank Dining for Charities. So Dining for Charities presented to the Friends of the Zoo with a check for almost $2,500. Friends of the Zoo is the sponsor charity for the month of May, and so we appreciate both Dining for Charities, the participating restaurants in that program, and obviously everyone that participated by purchasing those dining opportunities. It's a great fundraiser here in the area, and we appreciate all they do, and thank the Charles Paddock Zoo thanks them. I also wanted to give you an update on the skate park. At the last council meeting, a citizen brought forward some concerns regarding the lease arrangement between the city and the operator of the skate park. I promised to do some research and bring it back to council. So I'd like to go through some of that tonight. The city does have an agreement with Paradise Inc., which is operated by Kevin and Andrea Campion, to run the skate park. The agreement calls for the city to maintain the outside of the building and contribute up to $300 per month for utilities. The operator is responsible for all of the indoor costs, all the operating costs, maintenance of the ramps themselves, and others. The agreement does require the operator to provide some free hours. Currently, during the school year, they are free from 2 to 4 on all days when school is in session. The 2 to 3 time frame is normally used by homeschool kids, younger kids, and high school age kids. Every Friday, school gets out at 2 for early release, and the park is very busy. For the hours outside of those free hours, a punch pass can be purchased, so you can purchase 10 different sessions for $30, so that's $3 per session. A session can be anywhere from 2 to 6 hours. Other fees are up to $5 per session. During the summer, the park is open daily from 12 to 6. For $5, you can skate for 6 hours. That's less than $1 an hour. We have historically charged for skate park admission since the days when it was at the Prinery, so we did have charges there. Like George C. Beatty, who donated funds for those kids that could not pay for admission to the skate park, the Campions do not turn away kids that cannot pay, but they do work out something with those kids instead, so they have a vested interest. One of the concerns that was brought up was regarded the A-Town park name. The A-Town park name is used for marketing materials and promotions. George C. Beatty is still the official name. It's mentioned in the literature. A lot of the literature you'll see will say A-Town Park in honor of George C. Beatty. We do work with Susan Beatty, to make sure that she is still feeling like George's memory is being honored and that his contributions to the park are being honored. And she has been satisfied with the way it's been marketed. There is a plaque on the outside that does recognize it as the George C. Beatty Park, along with the original George C. Beatty Park sign on the inside of the facility. One of the concerns that was brought up was the retail space in the park. There is a small amount of retail at the park. That's completely in keeping with the agreement. If you've been to the park, it's just that very beginning part when you walk in. It's not a large amount of space. The A-Town Park lease, I'm sorry, the A-Town Park does not have a team. That was another issue with Ghana brought up. There was a team several years ago for about 6 months. It was decided that it was not by the operators, that it wasn't a fit for the community park, and it got eliminated. However, like any sole proprietor, the operators have the ability to give away usage of the park at no fee, as long as that giving away is not based on race, religion, sexual orientation, or any other protected class. So this is money out of their pocket. It's not money out of the city's pocket. They have that ability to give away those rights for free. There was a concern stated that the park is a high-pressure sales environment. Based on the city inquiries into this area, Mr. Campion stated, and I'm going to quote here, "We educate about helmets that are not California certified or CA certified. Sorry, not sure if that's California. It is our job. We also tell parents that mouth guards are a great safety addition, and we sell them for as low as $2. We don't mandate mouth guards, but we always recommend them. Other than that, collapsible scooters are not allowed, and we do not rent or lend pro equipment. We do rent or lend pro equipment if needed." He feels there is no high-pressure sales at all. In talking with some of the users of the park, that seems to have been borne out by what we've heard. The lease with the Campions, or it's actually with Paradise Inc., the current initial lease term ends on April of 2019. There is an option to extend it for up to 2 one-year terms. As with all city leases, when the lease is coming close to its end, the city will advertise for interested parties to submit qualifications and proposals to the city at that time. So based on our research, the park is operating as designed and in compliance with the lease. It's also operating in keeping with the idea of a park, a low-cost place, a safe place for people, kids to hang out and do what they love to do. The fees for the use of the park are very reasonable. As somebody says, you know, it's $5 max for 6 hours of daycare. You can't beat that. It's consistent with what the city's goals are. So I'd be happy to answer any other questions, but we have done a lot of research, and this is what we found.
Do we have any questions of... Go ahead.
I was curious, Rochelle, you said that there was the free time from 2 to 4. When school's in, is that the requirement when school's in? When school's out, is there the free time as well?
The lease is very loose. It just says that they have to offer some free time.
Okay.
They could offer a half hour and theoretically meet it. It varies, and it has varied over the years. I do see Mr. Campion here in the audience, and he might be able to explain some of the rationale on summer, when it's free in the summer or not free, and some of those types of things. But
but it meets the requirements of the lease.
It does. It does. As long as there's some free time offered during the year, that's it. It's very, very low cost. I mean, really, if you're going to be going there a lot, it's $3 a session. You can get it down to as low as 50 cents an hour.
Yeah, you can't go to the movies for...
No, you can't do anything for that. And so that's really what the city is subsidizing to try and keep those costs low. Mr. Campion, again... as they said, he does work with kids that cannot afford to pay to make sure that it's accessible to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other council questions? And is this agreement something that's reviewed at the council level, or is that reviewed at the staff level and approved?
I believe that we brought, whenever we go out for bid, we bring it back to the council.
And how often does that occur?
It's typically an initial five-year term because they're going to have to make a lot of investments in ramps and other things. But we do like to offer that two-year extension, up to 2 years of extending that. Just if it's operating well, we don't get a lot of complaints. Certainly it helps with some of that initial investment for good operators.
So what is the time cycle at this point? When is that?
This one comes up in April 2019, but can be extended up to April of 2021.
Okay, and so it has kind of an evergreen component. You could just extend it?
Just the 2 years.
Okay.
The very latest that staff can go out to bid would probably be, 6 months before that. So what's that, October, November of 2020? We could go as early as this October. We haven't done the analysis of whether or not it makes sense to go out to bid. We usually look at the market. We do some surveys of people that use the park and do all of that. We haven't heard a lot of complaints until the gentleman that came up at the council meeting. So our inclination would probably be to go ahead and extend that the extra year at minimum.
Well, it does seem like it's had a very good report in the community, and it probably would be good to formalize that process a little bit more next cycle, that it's kind of predictable that there could be a 2 or 3 year, whatever you and the city attorney think would be best to present to council, but something that kind of allows a review and continuation. Or, you can always have the option of putting something out to the bid, but I think keeping it as simple and straightforward would make sense in this case. And that'll be coming back to the council at some long after I'm gone, so you can ask for whatever you would like. Charles?
Does the extension come before council for review?
It has just historically been at the staff level.
Okay. If that's been the practice, that's fine with me, because like the mayor said, I've only heard positive things until the comments last week.
Well, I will say anecdotally, I haven't been there for years myself. I've kind of asked around and have heard positive reports, but unbeknownst to me, I have visiting grandkids from all over the country this week, and one of them ended up down at the skate park. We're at the 4th of July parade, and somehow they're giving away skateboards without wheels. I don't get it. But anyway, I'm thinking, well, this is going to be great. You're going to go down to the 805 board shop with your low-cost skateboard and try to come up with how you're going to get wheels. I wasn't sure how that would go, but apparently it went quite well. He was able to get wheels on his board and went on down to the skate park and really enjoyed his whole day. So that was pretty neat for a young man to have such an experience. It seemed to be no issues for him. So another positive report, I guess. But I do think it would be good to kind of formalize that process. There's a couple things that could be a little clearer, like I think it's a good time frame they have for open to the public at no cost, but maybe that can be pinned down a little bit more, so if in the future people have questions, it's more easily determined what the agreement is. But that's just a suggestion. It may or may not come back to council. Thank you. Any other comments or questions on that? Then is you have further report or turn it over to our
I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our city clerk.
So a little update on that four-year ballot initiative, and though it was not something that we could change the minutes of something that occurred, our council member did voice the decision that he would not participate in that. Is there a way to kind of officially record that somewhere, perhaps even under council announcements at the end or whatever? But if you could work that into your discussion.
Yes. Yes, I did record it as part of tonight's minutes.
Very
since
good.
The item was pulled from the consent calendar.
Very
so
good.
I did make note of Councilmember Robo's comment. A argument in favor and an argument opposed to the measure were submitted by the 5 p.m. deadline today. So those will go for 10-day review, and rebuttals must be submitted within the next within that 10-day period. I also did want to let everybody know and remind council that tomorrow the city will be hosting a nuts and bolts of running for office here in the council chambers at 5 p.m. So anyone who's interested in finding out about what it takes to run for office is welcome to come to that meeting at 5.
It's a very good educational program. Even if you're not thinking about running for council, you kind of learn a little bit about that electoral process and what all the requirements are. It's very good. Thank you for doing that again. Any other comments or questions from council? Go ahead, Ms. City Manager.
I wanted to just ask our city clerk to talk a little bit about the rebuttal process, particularly as Councilmember Borbeau has stated that he chooses not to, so that council knows their options, and also for anybody that would like to do a rebuttal against the argument that was submitted by the council.
So according to Elections Code, rebuttal arguments can be written by the authors who submitted the original arguments in favor or against, or the authors who submitted those arguments. A majority of those authors can designate, and there is a form, but using that form, they can designate someone else to write arguments, rebuttal arguments. So it's not just anyone could come out and write it. The power does lie with those who originally submitted the arguments in favor or the arguments against.
Very good. So that would be something then those signers would be in conversation with you to make that decision.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think I could just ask, it sounds like Mr. Sturdivant, you're willing to participate still. So we would have, the signers would have to think about four additional names if they wanted to, because it's not required.
It's not required. An argument and a rebuttal argument, any argument is allowed to have up to five signers,
but
it only requires one.
Good. Well, thank you for that clarification. And that concludes our city manager report. Very good. The next item on the agenda is a community forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to talk to all of us on anything that is not on the agenda, which is darn near everything there is, because we don't have much on the agenda, but it has to be under our jurisdiction. And we welcome you up for usually a limit to 3 minutes. And all you need to do is state your name for the record. That's all that's required. Welcome.
Good evening again, Mr. Mayor and council members, city staff. I'm Kevin Campion, and I operate A-Town Park, George C. Beatty Skate Park, as a partner to the city of Atascadero. This is my wife, Andrea, who felt she wanted to stand by me while I responded to some comments that were made 2 weeks ago about our business, the terminology used to describe us and our motivation as operators. And I have some notes. I rarely bring notes, as you know, to the table when I speak to you, but this has been a very challenging issue for us, because we've put heart and soul into this park I've been there over 10 years. I stepped in way back when Mobley's had partnered originally with the city and built the facility. I built the first pro shop in the facility myself on my own time as a courtesy to the group led by Austin Miller, who did such an amazing job contributing all of that resource. So it goes back a long time. Andrea has been by my side over the last 5 years since she retired. Nothing was said about us or about the contribution we've been making, and so I felt it was important to come to the mic and just say a few words. Myself, I'm officially an old man, and I've been teaching children for 50-some years now. I've been paid to engage, work with kids on a professional basis as a coach or an instructor for 48 years, to be exact. I've traveled with professional teams. I've traveled with top athletes in the world as a personal trainer. I put multiple years in as a personal trainer in fixed facilities, working under therapists. I've built and successfully sold a business that included 3 retail stores, all in an action sport industry, surf, skate, snow specific, retired, relocated to Atascadero. At that point, I became a principal partner in a brand that I owned with a federal trademark, worked with that company for 8 years, and then sold my equity position. Then I became Mr. Mom and started a marketing and sales business, home-based, while my wife joined the corporate world, and retired from that, and have been primarily focused on A-Town Park for approximately 10 years as a partner to the city. I'm going to just, can I just say a few more words?
Well, I think we have some leeway. I think we will keep public comment to 3 minutes. I think you are responding to a particular issue that was raised, and it was on our agenda with some discussion. So I'm going to allow you a
I'll
time
sew it
you
up.
Need.
Thank you, sir. I just want to make the point that our mission isn't corporate. Our pro shop helps offset the costs that we incur to do what we do for the community. For 5 years of the 10 years that we've been there, we were not profitable. It's been break even or better since. And I'm really proud about that because we invest the majority of what we're doing back into it with constant evolution. There's swag lamps, there's flavor, there's a lot that's involved there whether someone rides or not. And it's not about what you ride at A-Town Park. That's why the skate is not in the name A-Town Park. And I'm saying this for public comment to people that are watching from home. We want to be all-inclusive, and that has been the mission since the beginning. So sure, there are less skateboarders in our park, but skateboarders are absolutely welcome, and there's skateboards all over the wall, and we honor every skateboarder, and we emphasize to kids that aren't on skateboards sharing the park with skateboarders that skateboarders don't have handles or brakes. You must respect and allow them priority as they're crossing the park. We really create an environment that's balanced and that everybody feels included. And we got boundaries. So there are those children with some behavioral issues or challenges that may be less successful, but we work really hard to make sure they're included and successful. We don't exclude anybody. And we do have a fund. And if somebody doesn't have the money, we pull a scooter down or we provide them with the helmet. To say that we're driven by money and that's what our business is about, to say the A-Town logo is a commercial effort and not something about local pride, I found so disturbing that I had to be here tonight and stand against that and make it clear that that is not what drives us and that is not why we're here in this community serving as we do. We protect kids, and that's what we're all about.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Mayor, council, and staff, Jim Wilkins with the Historical Society. I have some good news. We're on the move tonight.
Yes, you are.
CHP's showing up around 8:30 instead of 9. They've already did their pre-check this afternoon, and it's good to go. They want to get on the road at 9 o'clock to beat the traffic. So sometime, probably after 10, and I'm not sure how long it'll take to do the 3-hour trip to get downtown, but there will be a house coming through town tonight. So if you have extra time, hang out in the Sunken Gardens, Tent City, it's a good spot, and watch the house go by. Or if you're an early bird and you got to catch it earlier, you can go out to Factory Outlet and catch it out there when it gets first on the move. So enjoy.
Well, Mr. Jim Wilkins, president of the Atascadero Historical Society, pretend there are folks who have no idea what you're talking about. Tell us a little bit.
Sorry.
So there's a house going to be moving down the road. Now, there's a little story behind that.
Yes, we're building the Colony Heritage Center, which is located across the bridge here up at the hotel park where the library is. We have just under 3 acres up there. We moved the cabin 3 years ago this month. We have the foundation ready for this house. We have the foundation formed up for the cabin and hoping it'll be poured in the next 2 weeks. And then those will both be dropped in 45 days and bolted to their new slabs. So what is the Colony Heritage Center? It's a serious archiving endeavor where we started archiving our photos, some of our books, some of the literature that Mr. Lewis printed, and we're up to about 7,000 images. And so now we decided we needed a bigger facility, so now we're archiving houses, moving them up there. The cabin will be a natural history museum. The house that we're moving tonight is going to be our archival center, so you can go in there and research once it's done. And then we'll have a couple more houses. One will be a cafe, which will house the school memorabilia from the community. And so that's what the Colony Heritage Center is. So when you see a house going through town, most likely I'm involved and it's going up by the library. So that's what we're doing tonight. Thanks.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Hi. My name's Nancy Guillen, and I also wanted to speak about the Atascadero Skate Park. My son Johnny is one of the children that has behavioral problems and is hyperactive that Kevin and Andrea have impacted his life incredibly. It's not the skate park itself that he loves, it's them. It's what he looks forward to and seeing them. And we call it his other home. They're his other family. So when they came to me telling me about what happened, I took it very personally and it hurt. And I hurt for them because Johnny has changed so much over this past year with their help and everything they do for him. They discipline him with love, and he is a very special boy. He doesn't like to be touched. He hugs Kevin and Andrea. It's amazing. He only hugs me, his father, and his sister, but he hugs them. And a couple weeks ago, he won first place at the skate competition, scooter competition that they had. And I took a picture, and he just had so much pride. And Kevin's looking at him, and Kevin has so much pride. That's his boy. Johnny's his boy. And it's a place where he's safe and where I could trust him to be alone with them. You know, we try to go to Paso Robles Skate Park or Templeton, but they're unsupervised. And there's a lot of homeless people. There's drug addicts, Templeton. There's a lot of older kids, a lot of cussing. There is none of that allowed at Atascadero. I know that he is safe there. And if anything happens, they will take care of him. I know that they make sure he's fed and hydrated. And I don't even know what he would do if there was somebody else standing in their place. He would not take it well. And the people they hire to work there when they're not there are amazing. Tucker's amazing. Everybody. I just feel so good when I walk in there. And I know that he's safe. And he's happy. He's a happy boy. He goes to school the following day. And he talks about it. He's there every Sunday for $5. You know, well, I go off to work my second job. And everybody knows him. And he's happy. He's happy. I just wanted everybody to know that it's a good place.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Hi, and just to follow up on that, my name is Joe Larwood, and my family and I have lived in Atascadero for 20 years, and the Atascadero Skate Park was brought up at the June 26th community forum, basically asking the city to review its current partnership at the skate park and or the way the facility is being run, and I'm here to speak about my experience at the skate park and about Kevin and Andrea, who have built a great program here. I'll repeat what I've told many of my families and friends since my son, Joe, who's 13, has been going there. It's the only park in the county where I would feel good about just dropping them off and leaving them there. You know, I wouldn't want to do that at some of the other parks. The small entry fees there are well worth the price of having a clean, well-run, supervised, and well-cared-about facility. And as you already stated, the punch cards, you know, you can get in for $3. It's about the cheapest entertainment out there, and the kids love it. And during school, just to reiterate what's been said, from 2 to 4, kids can get in free. You know, maybe kids with less skills, younger kids that are just learning. And I've spent a lot of time there and witnessed this. And is that 3 minutes? Oh, that's your phone.
That's three okay. minutes for the city manager. She's
like, wow, I'm really talking slow. So, you know, they run, they clean it, they maintain it, they supervise it, and they're really involved with the kids. They're working on their equipment, and then they're teaching them how to, you know, how to maintain their own equipment, along with teaching them, you know, life lessons at the same time. There's not too much of that anymore. And, you know, if anything's going on, disputes between kids, they work it out in a great way. So they do this through positive interaction and mentoring, and they talk with their actions. I've totally seen a positive change in my own son's attitude and behavior since he's been going there. And I know it's because of the environment that's there. It's a great place. Can't overemphasize it. And I have no affiliation with the park, you know, and this is just exactly what I've said many times to my family. It's like, God, I love this place. Love having an extra set in eyes and ears, right? It takes a village, right? So I don't think there could be a more important job than getting kids started off in the right direction and having people like Ann and Kevin who are willing to be there day in, day out and work with your kids. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Okay. Welcome. Next speaker.
Council and staff, my name is George Karchukas. I'm here. I have some information here if you'd like to keep it around. I'm building a studio apartment in existing space in Atascadero in a commercial residential building. And a space I'm using, basically, I can add another studio in the big apartment. And create some more residential space for people who are looking for it and also benefit me. What I like to do is we approve by the planning and all that, and I have the, which was a price, 11,000 something in impact fee. So I'm requesting if it's possible to be able to remove that impact fee, because it's an existing space. I don't build a new building. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker. And let me inject in, we don't usually have a discussion about items brought to us during community forum. Much like last time when someone brought up an issue, we asked staff to look into it. They reported back. We kind of have some community input about that. But again, I'll explain how that has been processed. But your request, we will comment at the end of the community forum portion. But we don't get into a discussion on each speaker. We kind of wait until everyone has their say. And then we'll make sure we've got a plan to address those at the end. So we'll kind of get back to you is what I'm saying. Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Hi. My name is Keisha Sizemore. And I also just want to say wonderful things about Kevin and Ann. My son is 12, and he goes to the skate park probably 3 times a week. And I just feel like these are the people that these kids need in their lives. They're all brought together by one common thing, and that's skateboarding and scootering. But these kids learn so much more while they're there. And they, Kevin and Ann, instill so much more than just learning how to skateboard or scooter. I feel like they really are teaching kids to be respectful. They're helping kids learn to trust adults, where a lot of kids don't trust adults. And just, they really are learning and teaching these kids life lessons. And yeah, I just wanted to say they're great, and my kid has learned so much from them. not just scootering and skating, but also being a good person and being respectful to the person that's riding next to him. So thank you, guys.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker. Anyone else wishing to speak on any item?
Hello, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Teresa Ferris, and I did hear about the comments that were made about Kevin and Andrea, and I want to come. And first of all, I want to say thank you for the support of the skate park through the years, because I know it is a team effort of you guys supporting what they've done there and vice versa. So I thank you so much. Our family thanks you, because the skate park has played a very important role in our son's life. His name is Chris, and he started skating. He started going to the skate park when he was about 7, and he's now 19 years old and a professional scooter rider. And actually, just as a side note, he went to Europe last week and won first place in France. And so, you know, it's not just what's happening there now. It's having an impact on their lives later. And we're really, really thankful for that. So anyways, he still does go to the skate park, even though he recently moved out of the area, but he still comes up and visits. Back in the day, when he was younger, he used to go to the skate park regularly and as often as we would allow him to. And as one of the other speakers said, really the skate park was his home away from home also. And Kevin and when Andrea came on board, they were like his second parents in a lot of ways. And I can attest from my own observation of them through the years, because a lot of times I wouldn't drop Chris off. I would stay and watch him, and I would watch them with him and with the other kids. And I observed firsthand that they weren't there for a business. They weren't there to make money. I mean, we all have to make money, so there's nothing wrong with that. You got to do it. But they were there because they care about the kids. They cared about my kid, and I'm extremely thankful for that. And one thing that Kevin and Andrea do there is they allow the kids to work at the skate park so that they can learn responsibility. And I'm really thankful that at a young age, Chris was learning that, not just in our home, but at the skate park. Kevin would trust him to take on some responsibilities like sweeping the skate park or, you know, taking out the trash or whatever. And he knew that Kevin had high standards for his helpers. And so Chris felt proud that Kevin would trust him to do that kind of stuff in helping. And do I need to stop? Gosh, that goes by fast.
It goes by very fast, but thank you.
So in conclusion,
closing remark.
Yeah, in conclusion, I want to say that my point in being here is to support these two fine folks that not only have helped our son, but have helped the kids in our community really to be better kids, healthier, and in many other respects. And I've seen them give of themselves tirelessly, selflessly, passionately, and lovingly.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate them, and I really appreciate your guys' support there. Thank you.
Welcome, next speaker.
Hello, my name is Tim Sizemore. I've lived in the community for 30 years. I have a 15, a 12, and a 9-year-old. Sorry, I don't public speak at all. I'm a crew foreman, so I yell at 5 people at a time, and that's it.
If you raise that mic a little closer.
Sorry. I'm here in support of Kevin and On. Anyways, comment was made about $5 admission. I just wanted to address that, and I feel like the $5 doesn't necessarily go for admission. I feel like it goes for our service, the safety, the supervision, peace of mind as a parent. It's more of a personal relationship from seeing Kevin and on consistently, and not just some random employee at the skate park. Knowledge of the equipment. Kevin's constantly working on my kids' stuff. Honestly, I should pay him separately for that, because like, he's got a full-time job with that. So his knowledge of the safety equipment. When we first brought stuff in, I was buying stuff on Amazon, and it was costing me a fortune to buy stuff on Amazon and then bring it in, and it was trash, honestly. I mean, I was spending hundreds of dollars on trash and, you know, helmets that weren't approved and everything else. So he's steered us in the right direction. It's probably saved me a ton of money between service and trash that I've been buying. So the availability of the swag that my son calls it, is amazing. Not having to wait for something goes wrong, a helmet goes bad, wheels go bad, I buy them right there, it's a done deal. Kevin and Andrea, they instill respect, honor, integrity, honesty, courage, friendship, leadership, responsibility. Cohen, my son is terrible at home cleaning up his room, but for some reason he can go and clean up, sweep, like one of the other speakers said, sweep, you know, he helps out, he does stuff like that for them, just out of love, because that's what they do. I think that's all I'm going to say. The alternative is Templeton, the alternative is Paso, and we've done that before, and it's ugly, honestly. It's ugly. So the hometown feel of Atascadero is amazing, and I don't want to go to Templeton. I don't want to go down there in a rage looking for some 40-year-old man that's picking on my 12-year-old son. So I know that my kids are safe. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You did a fine job. Welcome, next speaker. Anyone wish to speak on this or any other item under the council's jurisdiction that's not on the agenda tonight? Seeing no one approach, we'll close. One more comment. Okay. And be ready to go right after this gentleman, because we're going to hear from everyone. Welcome. Go ahead.
Thanks. My name is Dave Nichols. I spoke last week. I appreciate the city manager getting back to me on this. The communication's been excellent. I'm the only one holding the lease, once again. I'd like to get back to the lease. I have a high opinion of Kevin and Andrea as well, but that's never been what it's about. It's been about a lease signed by the city manager and the city attorney. In the expense of the park, it wasn't mentioned the liability insurance, the annual liability insurance that the city pays. That is part of the expense. The lease isn't as loose on some things as was suggested. Under use 3.1, it says tenants shall provide free public access and use of the facility during days and times approved by the city. It's not half hour whenever you want, and it's up to the city to approve these hours. So if the city approves of zero free hours during the summer, then that's approved. We should change the lease. There's also no use for a retail space stipulated in the lease. Everything I said last week was substantiated by your report back. George C. Beatty sign is still on the park. There's a competing sign for A-Town Park. A-Town Park is a DBA of Paradise Coalition. It's how they write their checks. It's a business. If the city's comfortable with getting a dollar a year for a retail space that's drawing customers in via a skate park, then we should put that in the lease. It was also acknowledged that there was an A-Town team. Those boys got in free. My boy was one of them. There's parents in this room right now that know their son has never paid to go into the park, and he is intertwined with the business interests of Paradise Incorporated. So all these things have been substantiated. I haven't said anything that was untrue. If they didn't sound right then, you should read the lease, because what I said was true. Kevin and Andrea have many friends, and they're well-liked. That was never the issue. The issue was a lease. That apparently was a good deal to all the parties involved in 2009 when it was signed. Can you just violate a lease and then bring your friends in to do your bidding and say he's a good guy, so it's okay? Fix the lease. When I read the lease, I'll have nothing to bring up to the city council, will I? So there are boys at Templeton and Paso. Those parks aren't as nice. The company's not as good. And there's boys from Atascadero there because they're not welcome in Atascadero skate park. So they're there. They're not here. There's nobody rallying people around them like this that have a massive platform at A-Town Park to sell their wares and to make their friends and do their networking. I would encourage everybody to read the lease. It's a lease.
Thank you. Any other speakers tonight on this or any other topic? As we will be closing community forum and we'll have some minor discussion we can have. Seeing no one else approach, we'll close the community forum. Again, community forum is designed for all of you to speak to all of us on items not on the agenda, but they're under our jurisdiction. I think taking up the skate park issue first, since it is under our jurisdiction, I think we asked staff to look into it when issues were raised. Staff did that. We gave some direction tonight in terms of, yeah, maybe let's tighten up a few things on the agreement, but it seems like there wasn't any other direction, any major concerns raised. Is there any response you would have, Ms. City Manager? Do you have a clear idea what you need to do from this point from council?
I do. He is in compliance with the lease. The free hours are approved by city recreational staff when they work with him on those. We can certainly in the future, and as if we do extend it for a year, we can do as part of that extended, tighten the language so that people understand that, yes, it's okay to have a small amount of retail space and some of those other things that historically make the park more convenient and attractive for the kids that do want to skate there. So we will work on that as part of that.
I think there is an aspect that I don't know if it's in the lease or not, but that could also be clarified. There's an ongoing relationship with city staff and like you say, the parks, our recreation staff right at the community center nearby. There's some discussion on activities, it sounds like.
Absolutely. There's a lot of discussion and collaboration and teamwork that goes on to make the skate park work. With Kevin and our recreation staff, and with Kevin and our facility staff also. So we all work together to try and offer this opportunity to the kids.
Well, one, I would like to thank all of you that came out and spoke tonight, because again, we've, as the countywide group of mayors, signed a pledge to be civil with each other. We need to have these kind of discussions, and everyone was very polite. Now, I understand how personal it feels. You're talking to five folks that have to go through a campaign. The first time I ran of my six campaigns and I found out people actually lying to my face, it's a little discouraging. We understand, and we obviously it's something you take personal. And I'm sure folks listening in that love Templeton and Paso, and maybe you said a few things that were better, of course. They probably are offended a little bit too. That's kind of a human nature. But I think the council has heard the concerns. They've given staff direction. Staff is following up on that. Is there any further direction council members would like to give staff or any comments on this particular item? Then we'll address the other item that was brought up.
Yes, I'd like to address it. It was very interesting to hear all of you speak tonight. This is a bit different than we heard at the last meeting. I appreciate the update that you gave us, Ms. City Manager, and wondered if we could look over any changes before they go out to any applicant in the future.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Other council comments? Okay, I think we'll move on to the second item I heard brought up was an individual had some concerns about some development impact fees, if I understand that. And I'd have to say, in general, we try to be consistent, fair, and apply one set of rules to everybody. And it'd be reluctant for a council to kind of jump in and look at a particular item. Sometimes we can learn from looking at a particular item is if something is out of whack. But the purpose of the development impact fees is to have everyone kind of pay their own way for things that come before the council, because we don't want to have a new project be subsidized by basically existing residents that have paid to have whatever they have going on. So we kind of look at that. We do review all the fees at least every other year as part of our budget cycle. So in general, it's not something that we look at usually individually, but do look at if it's something is not right, not calculated right, or unfair, it's something we would, if that's an issue, then it's an issue for everybody, and we would want to look at that in a more global way. I'm going to ask our city manager if you're aware of this particular item, or if it's something you want to report back to council, if there's anything we need to know about this or understand.
I am aware of the item. I have talked to the gentleman. We had a nice conversation about it. The issue is related to our development impact fees, and those impact fees are paid based on the number of units and the density of those units. This is a little unusual in that the same square footage is being divided up from one unit into two separate units. He therefore gets credit for the first unit that he paid for when he did that, but must pay the fees for the second unit. The reason that the fees are based on the unit is based on our development impact fee. That isn't one of the annual fees that we do, because it requires a very large study that basically you have to allocate the costs of future project and expansion of facilities to the units. And they've discovered over time, once upon a time those were based on square footage a long time ago, but they really have found that those impacts are really based on units rather than square footage. So if somebody has a 10,000 square foot house on the west side or a 1,400 square foot house on the west side, more likely than not they're going to have the same number of trips to town, the same number of impacts on storm drainage, all of those types of things. And so that has been the most legally upheld methodology for allocating development impact fees. We are in the process of doing a new development impact fee update. Again, it's an extremely large and time-consuming process, and I can just verify and make sure that that's still the most legally defensible way to do it. So we will do that as part of that study.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, the thing that struck me about this particular letter that we received from the applicant is that this is an existing space and he's trying to create a studio. And what we're hearing from the state is that we need more affordable housing. By definition, a studio apartment might be considered to be one of the more affordable ones. So I'm wondering how this works into that affordable policy, if the fees are less if they're considered affordable, or is this going to be deed restricted, or anything else that might be a factor that we need to consider?
The impact fees they found that the impacts really don't have that much difference based on size. The city council, as a matter of policy, can say that we want to subsidize, have other taxpayers pay for the impacts of more affordable units, because it's important to have affordable units. But realistically, there hasn't been a lot of support that second units or smaller units or studio units truly have a lesser impact. We actually have the consultant looking. I guess Malibu just did a study that has not been challenged yet in court with a little bit different take on it, to see if if there was a way to get those second units and those studio, if the impacts truly were less and that we should be charging less. So he is looking at that as part of that, but that historically has not borne out. But certainly council could make a policy decision.
Thank you. Chief, maybe you could just let folks know that their voices carry more than they might realize. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor? Question. What seems unusual to me about this situation is there's no additional square footage being constructed. It's simply being remodeled to essentially create two units out of one. And I'm curious as to how, and perhaps it's a question for Mr. Dunsmore's, how often has that occurred here? And I assume our policy is nonetheless specific that because it's unit-based, you know, the creation of the unit is what's driving the fee, obviously, because when it was square footage-based, there's zero additional square footage. So how often does this actually, has this occurred?
I don't have an exact number of how often this happens, but this is a common occurrence where a unit is carved out of another multifamily unit.
Okay.
And our fees are simply based on those front doors. It's another unit that can accommodate up to another family potentially.
So not common, but it has occurred.
Correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Well, and I think there is a there's a few more wrinkles to all of this because, one, I do think we've struggled with how do we get workforce housing, affordable housing, in limited areas, and we've certainly looked at second units as a potential for that, and I think there is some merit that, well, we may want to subsidize that in some way. But I think what makes this complicated is, one, square footage is the same, and, for example, if this was, if there wasn't a kitchen here, there probably wouldn't be any fees, would there? Because that's the issue, is that second kitchen, because you can add multiple bedrooms and it doesn't change the count. So there is kind of the formula, it seems to be more tied to other things than just how many people are going to be there, because you could have a two-bedroom or a 10-bedroom, and that's not going to be the impact on the fees. You'd think more people would have an impact, but that's not really tied to that in the formulas. And this is statewide. I mean, this is kind of a challenge. So I'm understanding that this is like one unit that had one kitchen and X number of bathrooms and X number of bedrooms, and they're splitting it. And the key issue is probably adding a kitchen and making them separate living units?
That is correct. He is separating one unit into two separate units that he will rent separately.
So it's really two front doors that is the issue, is it not? That's what makes a separate unit.
I would have to defer to the expert on what a unit is particularly and what that difference.
It really equates to a complete unit. So it's really a front door, a kitchen. What constitutes a unit in accordance with the building code.
And so, but just, and again, not to, well, we're probably getting to a point where I see the city attorney is rubbing his head, so we're probably going a little too far in discussion. I see how observant I am. So I think this is something that council might like to consider, again, more on a broader level of strategic planning. I don't know, unless this, yes. Is there, unless there's a council request that this particularly be looked at, it sounds like this is something we need to continue to work on at strategic planning.
I don't know that we could look at it separately and apart
right.
from the development impact fees, which
right.
is moving along and probably will come to you next winter.
Yeah. So I think given that information, is there any other direction to staff by council? And if you could interpret to our gentleman here the political speak and the bureaucratic speak we've just done, that you know we're going to look at this on a broader level and see what we can do. But thank you for bringing that to us. With that, well, I think we – is there any other community forum item that folks heard we needed to address?
Yes, I just wanted to comment. Mr. Wilkins from the Historical Society, you know, is obviously very excited about
yes.
the movement of the building this evening, but I wanted to comment. I've spent a little time literally in the trenches with them, you know, helping clear foundation trenches and stuff like that. And I'm talking relatively little time because they have spent, including on these hot, hot summer days, many, many hours, Mr. Wilkins and his crew of volunteers, having those foundations dug, getting in there, doing rebar, the whole nine yards. half a day or more at a time, five or six different folks out there. And it's just really impressive and part of the community spirit you see here in Atascadero of people chipping in and making something happen. And when the building comes through town and it's sitting there initially on blocks, it's not going to look that pretty because it had, you know, the roofing had to be taken off, et cetera. But given what they've done with all volunteer labor, I think we can have a high degree of confidence that they will pull this off, even though it may take a little while, and it will have a real, real nice product in the end.
That's a very good point to bring up. And since it was a slow day at KPRL, we didn't have much on the agenda. I talked a lot about, on my time there, about, again, the volunteer spirit of our community. I got to admit, I even said good things about Rotary, along with Kiwanis, about all of the things we've done with volunteer effort. And, you know, much of the skate park over the generations, volunteer effort. We could name literally hundreds of things, but I think a historical society put in a lot of labor. And like you say, I used to always say, you know, if everybody does a little, it's a whole lot of fun for all. You do a little bit now and there, you help out, you put a little duct tape on a piece of cardboard and it floats at the lake and beats Kiwanis. You know, you do a lot of good, you know, and it adds up in the community when everybody does a little bit. So thank you.
Just want to go, Mr. Wilkins' work has been incredible and he deserves an honorable mention from our council at some point.
Yes, and I think that's probably a good point. I was thinking of a couple things. I think the skate part is worthy of some follow-up. So I would ask Charles, why don't you give that some thought and what we might want to come forward with some proclamation common day. Certainly there's some things. Look for a good point to do something like that.
Be happy to do that. I mean, because in my experience, the Campions, it's a labor of love for them, what they do there. And they if they're making any money, it can't be much and providing a great community service.
Well, I think
service.
Them and Historical Society, just having to come to mind, I think those would be two things to follow up with.
Thank
so
you.
With, go ahead. Any other... Go ahead.
Yes, I understand when the house is being moved, the excitement is scheduled to occur somewhere around 10 to 10:30, and that'll be when they're coming past the Carlton Hotel and they have to go around the median and somehow get under the wires. So if you're going down there, that's where it'll be.
And you heard it right here. Well, we'll close, move on from our community forum, and... we have no public hearings. We have one management report. The reason for our meeting tonight is the Animal Shelter Services Agreement, amendment to the current Animal Service Memorandum of Agreement. And we do have a report by our city manager. I do want to acknowledge we do have Mr. Wade Horton here as our county administrative officer. I did say good things about you, too, sir, at KPRL. As I think I've probably worked with six or seven different county administrative officers well over 30 years, probably more like 40 years now. But again, there's never been a county administrative officer that's driven over the grade more than this gentleman, working with Paso, Atascadero, and other communities. He's very active, and I do believe he's really reached out certainly to the cities. He's also the first county administrative officer I've ever seen at a countywide mayor's meeting multiple times. He's been at my invitation, other mayors' invitation, and I think it's kind of evidenced that there's a new spirit at the county of really working collaboratively, thinking more regionally, but really working together with the cities. And I appreciate your effort, and your even being here tonight is very good. Though it is really on our city manager to deliver the report, we'll certainly welcome input from you later in the evening. Ms. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. As you stated, the item before you is an amendment to the countywide animal shelter agreement. I'm going to give a very brief background because I know that you guys are all very familiar with this and have been working with it, especially the ad hoc committee. As you know, historically, all seven cities and the county have participated in the same animal shelter. The SLO County operates the animal shelter, but each of the city participates in funding operations of that animal shelter. That animal shelter is getting older, a little run down. The county has explored over the years fixing it, trying to expand it, trying to turn it into a more modern animal shelter facility. And a few years back, they determined that it really just makes the most economic sense to build a new shelter on a different site. They have picked out a site. It is located close to the where the animal shelter is here. There's a couple of reasons for that. It is located next to woods. It is also located in a place that we can get some help from some prisoners and some others that are willing to work there. So in 2016 and 2017, the county let the cities know that they would be expecting the cities to help pay for this new animal shelter. They requested that all of the cities enter into an agreement by February of 2017 to participate in sharing the cost of that agreement. At that time, we did not have another option that we had found for operating any kind of our own agreement or an alternative to the county. And so we went ahead and agreed to sign that agreement, knowing that there were some periods where we did have out clauses, and council directed staff to keep looking. The city passed Robles, had some other frustrations along, very similar frustrations to our frustrations with that agreement. And in the late summer of 2017, the city of Paso Robles and Atascadero explored one option that they thought would be a potential for that. We did find a potential operator for an animal shelter. We ended up going together and figuring out what the cost of a North County animal shelter would be. And on October 30th, Atascadero and Paso Robles both notified the county that we would not participate any further in the animal shelter agreement. The reason for that, there were several reasons. We had a very extensive staff report and nice long council meeting to discuss the pros and cons of remaining in the countywide shelter or building a North County shelter. The reasons tipping over for the North County shelter were lower service costs, better control. You'd have two cities that were controlling it. At that time, it was felt that the county was not looking for a collaborative partnership in operating the shelter as much as more of a the county is going to decide and we were going to get there. There was a convenience factor and some flexibility. So those were the particular reasons for that. Deciding to go with a North County shelter instead of the county shelter. It was a close thing. These were all close numbers, and as you saw, there were some pros for the county and some pros for a North County shelter. I believe it was a 3-2 vote on that day here in Atascadero. One of the pros for the county shelter was if a Paso Robles and Atascadero pulled out of the county shelter, that would have a significant cost increase to all of the other jurisdictions, to the county and to the other cities, because it didn't necessarily reduce the cost of operating or building the shelter to the same extent as our participation. The two cities accounted for about a third of the costs and the usage of that, but those costs didn't necessarily go down proportionally. I apologize. There were some things that did change after that October decisions. One of them is the new county administrator that the mayor introduced, Mr. Horton there. And mayor, I can tell you I've been here 21 years, and I think this is the first county administrator that's been to a council meeting. So you have all sorts of firsts tonight, Wade. So that's a good thing. And Wade brings with him a lot bigger spirit of cooperation, wanting to work together in the spirit of partnership. An ad hoc committee was appointed by the city council, comprising of the mayor and mayor pro tem of Atascadero. Paso Robles appointed two council members, the mayor and mayor pro tem. We had the city manager. We had Mr. Horton on there and the two North County supervisors to discuss what were our concerns, what were our issues, what needed to be addressed to be able to bring both Paso Robles and Atascadero back into the fold and to be able to serve our communities the way we wanted to have them be served. As a result of those meetings, the county proposed an amendment to the shelter contract that addresses, to the best of their ability, many of the concerns that we talked about. This amendment was brought before the city of Paso Robles in June of 2018. They have approved the amendment with the county, which then means that a North County animal shelter is no longer a viable option, and we're back with the county. I want to address some of the proposal, some of the details of the proposal and how it addressed some of our concerns. If you read the proposed amendment, you'll notice that there is a lot of language there pertaining to collaboration, committing to a partnership model, to really wanting to include what all of the cities want. It agrees to adopt a client-oriented service approach. One of our big concerns was and frustrations was the county issuing kennel permits in areas and zones where they were not allowed or not appropriate. This says that they will not do that without written approval of the city. And it clarifies shared governance model and establishes an ad hoc committee of county supervisors and the mayor. So if the county and the cities disagree, those will go to the ad hoc committee. So they really tried to address some of our control and really reflect that collaborative approach that we were looking for. Costs. The amendment proposes to increase the county share of capital costs by $1 million, so the entire budget will remain the same. The county share of that budget will go up by $1 million. The cities will go down. Cities collaboratively, not City of Atascadero's, will go down by $1 million. It commits towards working towards reductions in operating costs, and it commits to adopting a goal and working toward reducing animal nights and animal intakes by 5% each year for the next 5 years with the intent to reduce costs. Some of the steps that will be explored, and remember you're going to have 7 cities in the county exploring these to make sure that they work, are targeted education campaigns, targeted catch spay, spay-neuter and release programs, proactive licensing, pursuit of grants and donations, really getting community assistance in a community-based approach to trying to reduce those animal nights and animal intakes, thus reducing costs, and a user fee analysis to make sure that we're balanced at the right spot. On convenience, the agreement does say that they will consider a mobile spay-neuter program, pet owner education programs that could be brought out to the North County and to our areas, more outreach to constituents, and some sort of microchipping and mobile program so that you don't have to go down there. So all of those will be looked at in order to address some of our frustrations with having to drive, you know, the 25 miles down there and back and our constituents not doing that. On flexibility, I believe that probably the biggest proponents of flexibility is going to be Mr. Horton in trying to get creative on ways to reduce costs and to address problems. One of the things that we spent quite a bit of time at the ad hoc committee and in other conversations with Mr. Horton were we do have a feral cat problem here in Atascadero. How can the county help and collaborate with us in partnership to really get our cat problem under control and having the flexibility and the resources from the experts there at the county to help us? So in summary, the City of Paso Robles has approved the amendment and is no longer interested in a North County shelter. An Atascadero standalone shelter is not cost-effective and is truly not viable. The amendment is a large improvement over the previous agreement, and I think one of the largest improvements is the improved spirit of collaboration and partnership. The recommendations as follows: to authorize the city manager to send a letter rescinding our October 30th letter saying that we were withdrawing from the county agreement, and authorizing the city manager to execute amendment number one to the agreement for the animal shelter in substantial conformance. And the reason the substantial conformance is there is this does need to go through each city council. It has gone through the Board of Supervisors and the County of City of Paso Robles. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And as you say, Mayor, Mr. Horton, the CAO from the county, is also here and available to answer questions.
Very good. And I want to keep this a little more formal because this is a project we put a lot of time in, and there may be more discussion. So I'd like to limit to council questions of our staff first. Any council questions for our city manager or staff? None. Go ahead.
The members of the operations committee and the executive board, who will those be?
That is spelled out in the agreement, and I have to find those, so I apologize.
Thank you, because I'm sitting here at the amendment to the agreement, and so I'm flipping through pages. And
page 25 and page 26 are where are discussed.
If Mr. Horton, is that something you could address easily?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Wade Horton, County CAO. The operations committee is made up of the health agency director and the city managers, or a subgroup of the city managers. They are all eligible to participate, and the executive committee would be the CEO plus 2 to 3 ad hoc city manager designees.
Okay. And then the ad hoc committee, will that actually be formed in case there's a need for the ad hoc committee, or is that only formed when these two cannot agree on?
So it can be formed ad hoc, or there's a minimum of two meetings that occurs at the standing monthly CAO city manager meeting. So two of those meetings a year, animal shelter has to be addressed. But of course, we can address at any time that a city would want to. We can form that ad hoc committee.
Okay, so what you're thinking is the ad hoc committee really would be you along with, well, CALSA, along with all the city managers twice a year at your monthly meetings?
Yes, council member.
Okay. And I guess my other question would be really for staff. I mean, so much of this is, and I understand why the language is we will try to and attempt to and all of that, and I understand that that's probably the best that can be done, and some of this also relies on the fact that we have a CAO that we have a good relationship and we trust, and that may not be the case in 5 years or 10 years, not with you, but you know, you could find greener pastures. So how do we feel confident that this trying and attempting and considering will actually play out into action, whether or not an exact 5% is achieved, for example, in the reduction of costs?
Well, I would suggest we let that question percolate for a moment and go on to other questions, because we may end up with some questions that kind of group together, and then you'll give the because I have some similar suggestions on that. One simple example is we had a lot of discussions with county and city managers for a long time, Board of Supervisors, and none of the mayors really knew what was going on. Now, that's kind of everybody's fault, but I think, you know, supervisors needed to hear from county staff. We needed to hear, but I was hoping to see some form of electeds involved in that at some point, or make sure we don't get this far afield ever again. So I think that's an area that, you know, you might address later. But I'd like to go on with, I'd like to focus more on questions. And if it's a simple, straight answer, yeah, paragraph, here it is. If it's one of those thought-provoking questions, let's kind of get them out on the table and see if, you know, one question answers another, so to speak. So I do see the light up here. Councilmember Burbeau, do you have some questions?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I assume it's okay to go ahead and direct those questions also to Mr. Horton.
I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's kind of starting to happen, so I thought that's where we'd go. And this question might be for both our staff and Mr. Horton. And I've had the pleasure of working with Wade Horton while both at the City of San Luis Obispo, and he does. He's a great person to work with, and I understand the greater confidence that we have in the county and the county's willingness to listen, et cetera, because Wade, you're involved, and we appreciate you being here this evening. But kind of along the lines of what Councilmember Moreno said or asked, you know, the we'll try, and we're all working well together right now is, you know, not entirely reassuring, because my concern on this has always been the operating cost more so than the high cost of the shelter itself, because that's what's going to eat our lunch over time. So when we talk in our staff report about this attempt to reduce costs, and we mention the our particular problem with feral cat population, and we talk in here about the we will explore spay, neuter, and release back so we aren't just opening up space for new feral cats. My concern is that if we as a community, or perhaps Paso Robles as an individual community, want to have a different policy, if you will, regarding feral cats than, let's say, the other communities, because, you know, their whole geography is different, their community is different, et cetera, that we be allowed to do that. In other words, for whatever reason, the other communities are not interested in spay, neuter, and release back, but we want to do that because we want to reduce our cat bed nights in the shelter. What assurance do we have in terms of the city being able to establish its own, you know, community standards-based policies? Because I don't really see that in here.
Well, I'm going to help him out and give you an answer to that that he can expand on. But one, in a way, I've had that question answered more because we've had more discussions. Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie and I have been very active in this for some time. And I think there's two things I would contrast with. When we had this discussion, our first discussion, we had a representative from the county sitting right out there, coming right up to that lectern. We point blank asked and said, you know, county staff have determined that a feral cat program would reduce need over time. They agree that this is something that would be good, and we want to do that. Would the county be willing to consider that? And the answer was no. So what's different now is the answer is yes. It's actually factored in. We now have it factored in to have a program that addresses that. And something that also really turned the scales for me was being invited to be on the interview panel for the new county health agency director, which is over mental health, over the animal shelter. And I was very impressed because I could see behind the scenes the work that Mr. Horton and county had done, because every candidate for the health officer was well prepared on answering the animal shelter issue as well as the mental health issue. I knew there was some work done ahead of time by staff and the applicants. And the applicant that was selected specifically has experience in turning around an animal shelter very similar to our situation. So here's a gentleman that's done it very much. You're going to like him because he's a lot like you. He's very much a fiscal guy, very concrete, step by step. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to accomplish it. And just knowing that the county specifically said this is a priority in who we hire, that's prepared to deal with this very issue, and then to see this person deal with these kind of questions we put to that person in hiring them, and to be able to feel that, it gave me a lot more confidence. So with that, is that about as a softball as I can hand you of how can you answer Councilmember Bourbeau?
You did a fantastic job there, Mr. Mayor. So with this new model, we provide you services, so you're a client, and we're adopting a client-based approach moving forward. And if there's an opportunity for the city of Tascadero to embark on a cat program, it's incumbent to us to tell you this is how you can do it, this is how much it would cost, and this is something you want to move forward with.
And okay, well, I appreciate, Mr. Mayor, your comments as well about, but again, that goes back to, you know, we've got a change in approach change of personalities at the county, and that's, yeah, that is very helpful, and I very much respect that and have a great deal of confidence in Mr. Horton. But what I'm looking for along the lines, I think, of what Councilmember Moreno was getting at is, you know, what happens 5 years from now as the as costs continue to escalate, and we, you know, want to have a different approach, let's say, and we go on the ad hoc committee, which has not all city managers, but 2 to 3 city managers. Hopefully, there'll always be at least one of the two North County city managers as part of that. And, you know, we, let's say in the extreme, we say, well, we, you know, we're, cats cost us so much, we don't want to deal with cats, and we want to treat them all as wild and not deal with them at all. What I want to understand is, because I don't see it in this language at all, is that the city of Tascadero could adopt its own community standards and say, here, this is the level of service, if you will, we want in our community, and have some control over that, as opposed to, you know, having the county and 5 other cities or 6 other cities say, no, you have, we all have to do this a certain way.
So in section 3B4, it specifies community-based approaches that involve the community and activities and donations. But I also see that as community-based approaches as a potential to work, not treat every community with the same broad brush. So what might work for one community might not work for another. And that'd be something, again, that we'd have to develop a proposal for your consideration if you would want to move forward with that.
Thank you.
And I want to respond again, to belabor this a little bit, but I got bad news for you two. But the fact is, he is going to do what 3 county supervisors tell him to do. Or his replacement anytime, sure, down the road. And that city manager is going to do what 3 or more council members tell her what to do, or her future person. The only way this works is, that's the issue I brought up, is we, the elected officials, have to stay involved. That's our responsibility to make sure we have that collaborative, ongoing relationship. It makes a difference who you elect. Can they work with each other or not? We got to have supervisors and council members that really want to work regionally and collaboratively. And if you lose that, it doesn't matter what the language is. Then it's just, we're going to spend a lot of money with lawyers is what we're going to do. So I think we take this as a way to set a precedent, and much like we did with the mayors and the supervisors on civility issues, we kind of put a stake in the ground and say, this is the new minimum standard of how we're going to interact. And I think we keep raising the bar and we do things different. Because I think it's the process is how these things are going to continue. It's not like, I don't think, from the way I've seen laws be written, some new lawyer always comes up with some new angle, or courts interpret something, or whatever. I think we have to work to make this work, is kind of my... So I think if you can come up with... I would support any wordsmithing you can come up with. I just don't think that's where I would invest my energy in. I would invest in accountability of electeds to stay engaged, because they're going to determine, it's going to, that's how staff is going to take direction in the future. My little sidebar. But if you can come up with some magic language, I completely support it. Go ahead.
I'd like to know how the county will be working with Woods in North County with the expansion of their facility and the ability to do more spay and neuter, and what sort of connection there will be there to help support the effort of reducing costs, especially as it relates to the cats.
Yes, council member. I know we have a very close relationship working with Woods in our current location, and we would certainly expand that cooperation in North County once Woods is up and going, to see how we can reduce costs and how we can most effectively leverage resources working with Woods to bring down overall costs for both agencies.
Okay. And last question is, does the county own the land where the current shelter is located?
It does.
And what is the plan with that land? Is it going to stay county and do something with that, or do you plan to sell that?
It is. And in fact, there's a master plan that's online that we recently completed last year. I apologize. I don't have the URL, but it's on Public Works page.
Okay. Thank you.
Just one more question. I had asked, because again, my long-term concern is operating costs, not the high cost of the shelter, although that's a concern, but it's the high operating costs that is going to eat our lunch. I asked, and the city manager provided me the current operating agreement, which, as I understand it, goes through 2019. So we will have another year or so under our belt, and then there would be a new operating agreement. Is that correct?
I'll have to get back to you on the specifics of the operating agreement, per se.
And I think perhaps, Mr. Mayor, maybe that might be the time to try to address our concerns about if there's anything we can do to put reasonable language in regarding operating cost.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions? I would, and I do know that Councilwoman Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie has put a lot of thought and effort into this, has some conclusions to share with us, much like I have some opinions I shared. Do we want to go to public comment first? I think if there's no other council questions, we invite anyone from the public to raise a question or make a comment on this item. Then we'll bring it back probably for some concluding remarks, and then we'll be prepared to make a motion. Anyone in the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing no one dashing forward, we'll close community forum, bring it back to council. Council Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie, I turn it over to you for closing remarks.
I don't know if they're closing remarks, but yes, I have been involved with this, and this actually started some years before this came up that I had concerns that I had discussed with the city managers. I watched the budget and the amount go up year by year by year until we reached $220,000 for a town this size for animal control. It was like the light bulb came on. There's got to be a better way to do this. The cost was just prohibitive, and there was no end in sight. So I think it was actually helpful that the two cities came to the same conclusion at the same time and said, we need to look at this. This is getting out of hand. And I am very pleased with the reaction of the county. They've come down in the price by $1 million, which is not a great deal, but it's a sign of good faith, and I appreciate that. That we've seen a commitment to reduce the cost by 5% per year for the next 5 years. And I know there's no teeth in this. I can read it too. But there's a commitment to try, which we've never had before. There was always a reward for county staff to pick up that animal because they got a fee to pick it up, to keep it for a length of time, and the longer the length of time, the bigger the bill that came back to the city. And it was not working for us because we had to pay that bill, and there was never a reduction, and there was no end in sight. So I appreciate the time that you've put into this, Mr. Horton. Your staff, getting a new person on board is actually a very big deal, too. I know that wasn't a small one. I think that we're reaching a level of trust at this point in time. We'd like to participate over this and have some control in the future. Actually, we're giving you our trust for the next 40 years, which is a huge thing to do because that's the length of time that animal shelter will be used. And we will be paying for this on and on and on throughout that time as it's amortized away. So it's a big deal. And I want to give you that trust and hope that trust will be returned to us and we'll be able to be proud of the shelter and proud of keeping the cost down and proud of working together to solve the problems that we've had in the past. Thank you.
And I would add as well that I hope this is a precedent. I believe it is. For other things we have many common problems, and I think this approach is going to be a much better approach for all communities. So I appreciate your effort, and I know we're all going to work with it. I really felt that with all the county mayors, very much appreciative of kind of a new generation approach. Did you have some further comments?
I did. I wanted to thank you and Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie for working with the county and working with the with the mayor and vice mayor of Paso Robles on this issue. I think our vote, along with Paso, to withdraw from the agreement helped produce this improved outcome. And I thank you guys for your efforts in that, and really thank Mr. Horton again and the change that he's brought about there. So I think, and as a practical matter, as the city manager stated, you know, with Paso pulling out, you know, we obviously can't run an animal shelter or animal service program on our own. So, you know, it would be irresponsible for any of us, I believe, to not vote to approve this agreement at this time. I do hope that we will continue to address in the next operating agreement some of the concerns, you know, that I mentioned. But with that,
I would go ahead and just checking with Councilman Sturdivant. I think the comments you might.
Well, I would just say that this spirit of collaboration is amazing, and the fact that you're here tonight, and I've been here for 10 years, I've never seen a county administrator here. So I appreciate the attitude of wanting to partner and where we all can work together, because that's exactly how the sky's the limit when we work together. So I really appreciate that. And thank you for both the mayor and Mayor Pro Tem for all your hard work and for as long as this has taken, but for your persistence and for you being consistently consistent in this matter. I do appreciate
persistently consistent.
Persistently consistent. I really appreciate all the work you've done.
Well, thank you. In keeping in terms of persistently consistent, I would like to make the motion we adopt staff's recommendation. It might be appropriate for a second by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie, and we can have some discussion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and second discussion.
Well, I would like to echo the thanks, but also to our city manager, who put in a tremendous amount of work for a very long time in trying to search for other opportunities and other avenues, and working with Paso, working with us. You have put a lot into this and to get us to where we are, so thank you.
And with that, I'd ask for a roll call.
Councilmember Bourbeau.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. I would like to, and again, suggest you consider how you keep electeds involved in this. I'm sure that's on your mind and you've thought about it, but we really need to keep the communication open, and I trust you're going to work on that. Any closing comments you would like to make on this item? And again, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much for your trust in the county and moving forward. I just want to let this council know that one of my number one goals since becoming CAO is increasing the level of trust and collaboration between the county and the seven cities. And this isn't just an animal shelter project. This is the first project moving forward of regional nature, and I think that if we can build that trust and collaboration between the county and the seven cities, there's some really incredible opportunities that we have moving forward, working collectively together. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, you tell all five of your bosses, you get an outstanding on this one for your evaluation, so thank you. With that, we don't have a lot left on the agenda. I'm going to go on to council announcements and reports, and I'm going to put off any reports this session and move on to Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie. Any comments on anything?
No comments.
And how about Councilwoman Moreno?
I actually wanted to congratulate Nick and Haley Mattson on their new magazine, the Colony Magazine, that they're putting together. And there's a lot of just bringing a lot of the community together, and I think it's really exciting. And I wanted to say something in here that was just a congratulations to the city, and actually the gentleman that came up talking about the impact fees. He's also a developer working on something downtown, and he is quoted saying the city has been easy to work with. So thank you to ComDev and the city for that, and I look forward to seeing more of the Colony Magazine.
Very good. Councilmember Bourbeau?
I have no report.
And that's
no report.
So with that, any final words by city manager or staff? Anyone want to drag this out on the bet going on?
No need to stretch it out. I won again.
Excellent. Okay, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Very good.